have a lot of possessions with you is that no one can tell me how much time I have left. So, allows a great deal of freedom. Real quick, just to touch on St. Paul, because that can be a little confusing to read, that reading where he's talking like an insane person. You're like, well, why do they keep this letter of St. Paul when he's talking like an insane person, according to himself? But there's a lot of struggle in the early Christian community, some confusion, some rigorists that were like preaching kind of contrary to what he was sharing about the light of Jesus and the freedom that comes in Jesus. And so he's comparing himself to these other would-be apostles. And I just appreciated, like, are they ministers? Are they Hebrews? So am I. But are this all the more me? Like, are they ministers of Christ? I'm talking like an insane person. That's Hebrew for as if. So that was kind of my understanding of, he's like, come on, people, wake up. And then he lists all the ways that he's proven his devotion to Christ, not flaunting himself and his strengths, but in his failures and his weaknesses. So if that helps you at all, sometimes it can be difficult to understand some of St. Paul's writings. The gospel is challenging for all of us when Jesus says, do not store up treasures in this life where someone can take them away. You know, raise your hand if you went through Ida recently. Anybody go through Ida recently? So all those things that you built up in your house, like, it hopefully can laugh back now. Maybe it's too early. But all that time and energy, and then overnight it's gone, right? And our Lord's like, careful how much time you spend on those things that in one night can be taken from you. Rather, as well as those basic needs, make sure you're storing up treasures that no one can take away, the treasures that you will take with you to heaven. Do not be empty in that storehouse. And this is actually just kind of a revisiting of last Sunday's Father's Day homily. So if you liked that one, great. It's the same homily today. If you didn't like it, well, that's okay. I don't mind. I plagiarized. But because we talked about the regrets of the dying, right? That was the homily for Father's Day. And things that the people who are on their deathbed actually do tend to regret statistically. And it's all about the fact that they spent too much time on treasures of earth, and not on things that mattered, things that last. They had too little treasures for endurance, treasures that would endure, treasures for heaven. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which means fix your heart on these things, the treasures of heaven. That means look at where you spend your time, your talent, your treasure. Where is your heart? What do you spend it on? What do you invest it in? When you ask your little ones, what do you daydream about all day? Well, that's where their heart is. So what do I daydream about? What do I worry about? What do I focus on? When I go to bed at night, what do I think of as a success of the day? Or what am I stressed because I utterly failed because my heart was fixed on that thing, whatever it was? Our Lord says, ultimately, you are to love. That's what your heart is to be fixed on. What is your treasure? A great examination at the end of your day is not, did I get the phone call that I needed to get? Did I schedule the appointment? Did I succeed in business or whatever else? How much did I love today? And our Lord clarifies that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you really won't have much to worry about at the end of the day, at the end of your life. That's what your heart most wants. That's Jesus saying, you want to know the meaning of existence? That's what it is. Do this, and you'll find it. You'll find a treasure that lasts. So we want to look at our love. Because we are so caught up in this first world situation that we are in, even as Christians, we're called to bear witness, and yet we find ourselves focusing it from the time we're, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old, you're focused on doing well in school, right? First priority, do well in school. Uh-oh, you did bad in school. Bad. No, that's not good. Like, you didn't get the B or the A, you got the C, or you misbehaved in class. Okay, well, you're a failure. Or you didn't get enough money. You didn't get the right career. You didn't get the right score on your ACT. For the right college path. Now you don't have money for your own car, you can't afford your house, you're a failure. Or, rewind, you didn't get the trophy. You only got one baseball ring. You were supposed to have 20 by the time you died. We focus a lot on those things, right? We want our independence, like as a young person, like, oh my gosh, I need to get this job so that I can what? Be free of my parents. That's what it's all about. And then you get that, and what? There's still more that your heart's actually looking for. I want that self-sufficiency. That's what life is about, self-sufficiency. I can do it my way. You have that and you still want more. Well, as long as I have financial freedom to buy what I want, when I want, then I'll be okay. It doesn't work. The story, I love the Christmas Carol, right? Charles Dickens, Ebenezer Scrooge. He had the uttermost financial freedom, right? And what did he get him? It's a lie. And we buy into it. We drink that Kool-Aid a lot. All these things that our world today kind of focuses on. Or Facebook, like ask yourself, how much time do I spend scrolling Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there? So much time invested on keeping up with Facebook. For what? And I do it again the next day. And I can never do it enough. Or I want the likes of what I posted on Facebook or the image I posted. I'm looking to see how many people liked it, how many people shared it, because then I'll be successful. Then I'll be reaching the meaning of my life. Then I'll be happy. And it just doesn't last. Look at Ebenezer Scrooge, okay? What is the impact you want to have at the end of your life? That was, again, Father's Day. What's the impact you've had so far? This retreat is a chance to detach, to zoom out, and to look honestly in a sober way. Where is my heart these days? What do I tend to focus on? Actually, sober is a great word. Like the second paragraph of the gospel, like if the lamp of your body, if it's not working, how great will that darkness be? You won't be able to see. Now you all can understand this, but you trust your taste buds, right? You taste the kiwi, it tastes like kiwi. You taste the Twix bar, it tastes like a Twix bar. When you're pregnant, does the Twix always taste like a Twix bar? I don't know, I'm assuming, I've heard rumors. So there's a moment where your taste can be twisted, okay? I don't know why God did that, I think it's original sin, but there's a moment when your taste can be twisted. And so you don't ask someone whose tastes are twisted, hey, does this taste good? And then you taste it, you're like, oh my gosh, it tastes terrible, what are you talking about? Well, I can't trust your taste. And sometimes our vision, our mind can be darkened, right? And so we don't see the good. The treasure is the way they should be seen. We see them the wrong way. We overemphasize things that are petty, how much time we spend on petty arguments, and we undervalue things like being with God, prayer, giving up what I want for the sake of someone else to have a joy that I can give them. Our light can be darkened, and we are not able to see clearly. That's where that second paragraph fits in here. Make sure our light is able to help us see what we need to see. Where is my heart? Man, when they asked for my cell phone, oh, that's when I knew where my heart is. Because, oh, that just hurts so much. I can't part with that stupid thing that's like 5 inches by 3 inches mechanical, has no heartbeat, and yet, oh my gosh, how much it means to me. It means don't take that thing from me. Take my kid instead. Come on, you've all thought that at one point. Just kidding. So we do. We want to detach our hearts so that we can see. Get a good, sober image. Detox, right? If you've ever known someone or gone through like that process of getting over some sort of addiction, there's that detox period. It hurts. And I don't mean to compare the Axe retreat to a detox experience, but if the shoe fits, it hurts. To see clearly, to be made to see clearly, to be made to let go so that I can see clearly. How am I investing my time, my talent, my treasure? And I'm investing it in things that are going to last, or is it all in kinds of stocks or whatever else that tomorrow may not be here? And our Lord is not pulling punches. He's very serious. Where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. We want to have this time of not just external silence, which I hope you enjoyed that a little bit from last night till this morning, that kind of external silence, but also the internal silence, meaning nothing pulling at my heart. I get to a point where I don't need anything but Him and the love that I'm called to have for him and my brothers and sisters. And I can simply say, Lord, I'm not sure what you want me to do with my life, but tell me, and I'm free to do whatever you ask. I'm detached from so many wrong treasures so that I can seek what you call me to seek. I want my heart to be on that treasure. We want to zoom out. We want to see. Another way to look at this is St. Paul, as he lists all the things that he went through for the sake of the gospel, that was his treasure. Christ was his everything. Is Christ my everything? Is Christ my family's everything? St. Paul was going through times of persecution. Eventually, he died beheaded simply because he was a Christian, which means that they took him to trial, and they looked at the witnesses and what people saw of him, said of him, heard of him, spoke about of him, and that was all their evidence against him. And he was convicted and found guilty of being a Christian, a loyal disciple of this Jesus Christ, and they beheaded him in those times. So the question for me is, if I were on trial as being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, one whose treasure is invested in Jesus Christ and the gospel, would there be enough evidence to convict me? Based on what people see, what I talk about, what my life looks like, would there be enough evidence? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and decay can destroy or thieves can break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Pray for us.